Devices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. This program is brought to you by Knapps Gear. Knapps Gear is an advanced online pharmacy working with the industry's leading suppliers. Each supplier goes through a review process of quality control and maintenance of reputation before they allow them in their store. Check with local laws before purchasing. You're listening to episode number 85. I'm recording this from the studio on a Sunday night, December 9th, about 3 weeks away from 2019. Another year is upon us. And a lot of times this time of year, I start thinking about reflecting, looking back, looking at the things that made me happy about the year, reevaluating everything, thinking about the things I'd like to change. You know, this was a tough year, honestly. I went through a lot. Got divorced this year, and you know that, and there are things that just I can't talk about on the radio, but I will tell you, it's been tough. At the same time, it's been a fantastic year. I've had a lot of really cool successes, and I've done a lot of things that I didn't think I could do. I turned two people pro, for instance, and I'm super proud of that. I'm super proud of what I'm doing here with Advices Radio, and I want to do better for 2019. That's the main focus I think a lot of us get around to this time of year. We look back, we see what we've done, and we think about what we want to do. So my thought is we do everything we can to be the best people that we can be in 2019 and look at what we want to achieve. I mean, what do we really want? Outline it. I feel like at the end of the day, it all comes down to happiness. We want happiness. And I think that if we've been around long enough, we know there is no such thing as perfect, blissful happiness. But there is a smaller amount of moderate happiness that we all can achieve and maintain for most of the time. So that's what this show's about today, is looking at things we can do to achieve our moderate level of happiness that we deserve. We're going to start out today talking to Matt Wyke, and I've got a reason for that. It's a personal reason. I want to increase my productivity in 2019. I know that I can condense my work down a little bit, and that will give me more time to do the things that will make me moderately happy. So that's the goal. We're going to talk to Matt about organization and about his productivity. Listen, this guy has been doing an article a day for like 720 days or more. You know, I don't even know. We'll get to it in the show. But in order to do that, it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of time, and a lot of organization. So we're going to talk to Matt about what his day is like and find out how he writes an article, produces a piece of media each day for the year and the previous year and the years to come. After that, we're going to talk to Erin Peary. That's VJ's wife from Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. So Erin, she does, what is it? It's the laser skin treatment stuff, the Botox, all of those things. And it's a topic that I don't know much about. But, you know, and okay, so you can improve the surface of your body. That doesn't mean that you've changed. Well, here's my thought, that if you can afford to do something that makes your body look better and that makes you feel better, then it improves your self-esteem, your level of confidence, and you can do more, then it will help you to achieve your goals. So I guess it all depends on perspective, but I think this could be a really cool thing for a lot of people, and I wanted to share it with you. So we're going to talk to Erin after that. And finally, we are going to talk to Chris Collins from Moodoo. It's a DNA company. We can learn about ourselves, and through that, we can celebrate who we are, and we can get more out of our life. On top of it, Christmas is here. So if you're looking for a last-minute gift, that could be something you want to check out. We're not getting any kind of kickback if you use the code. They have a code that we talk about at the end of the show. So just to be clear about that. Right now, we are listening to a song that resonates with me. This is 21 Pilots, Stressed Out. It's one of those songs where you just feel it. It just hits you right down in the guts. And if you haven't noticed, every song we use on Advices Radio is something that's resonating with me. Every episode, they all are. So let's listen to this for a minute, guys, and then let's get to the program. We've got so much more coming out. Stay tuned.
Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama.
All right, guys, and up next we have back with us Matt Wyke. Matt, what is happening, brother?
Not much. Staying busy. How about you?
Yeah, I'm trying to do the same, but you know, every time I turn around, you are still pumping out content. I want to say the last time you and I spoke, you had already completed one piece of media per day for the year, and you were working on your second year. The second year of doing at least something, publishing something every day for an entire year. How's that coming along now? Where are you at?
I'm like a content machine gun. I just keep pumping them out. It's funny. I mean, last time we spoke, and I remember, you know, almost 2 years ago now when I said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this 365 days worth of content, you know, one piece every single day going out to like a third party site. And I hit that. And then when we spoke earlier this year, you were like, I can't believe you did that. You know, what's next? And I'm like, let's just keep rolling.
Yeah.
And as of right now, I have enough content through all of my clients to put me through at least the end of November. Obviously, we're kind of in the middle of November right now.
Yeah.
But I have enough that I just have to create it at this point. But I have enough that will probably get me through the rest of this year as well. So I'll definitely have enough for 2 full years of content going out every single day.
Wow.
So that's exciting. But I mean, I love it. Some people will be like, oh my gosh, like this guy is absolutely nuts. Like I think when you and I broke it down, it ended up being like an article and a half or like 1.6
yeah.
articles a day or something like that. But it's kind of crazy to think about. But in the same respect, it's cool that I'm putting out so much content that can actually help people. So
yeah, and here's the thing. I think as somebody who produces content myself, it's easy to say, okay, I'm gonna put this game plan together. I'm going to shoot big. I'm gonna do. It's easy. I can create a piece of content every day. It's just one piece of content a day. But when you get down to actually making that happen, this has got to take a lot of planning. And that's what fascinates me, because I see firsthand, you know, what it takes to create content, to, in your case, a lot of times it's writing, whether it's I'm making a podcast, whatever I'm doing, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of planning. So really the thing that I'm fascinated by, that I want to learn from, and I think our audience can learn from too, is organizational skills. And, you know, I don't know if you fancy yourself as someone who educates people on stuff like that. But I will tell you what, just looking at your life will be an education in itself. How do you keep this all together? That's my main question.
You know, it's funny because everyone has an excuse as to why they don't do something. Well, I don't work out because I don't have time. And that is such an overused excuse. I mean, if something is a priority to you, you're going to make the time. It doesn't matter what it is. That includes, you know, the people who sit in front of their couch every night and Netflix. Okay, you made that a priority over something else.
Sure.
Which is fine. That's your prerogative. You can do what you want with your life. But in the same light, do not make the excuse that you don't have time to work out then. So for me, I mean, obviously, you know, I run a business that, you know, the umbrella of services that I offer is pretty wide. So I'm constantly busy with that. I have newborn twins now, so that takes up a good portion of you know, my time outside of work. And then obviously
congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. And then I have, you know, my 4-year-old son as well. So life is crazy, but yet I still find time to work out. I still find time to, you know, eat a healthy, well-balanced diet. And then on top of it, create a whole bunch of different content, whether it's written, audio, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's like you said, like you have to have some type of set schedule. Otherwise, if you're all willy-nilly and all over the place, forget about it. And it's funny because I used to tell everybody, you know, back in the day, and I know you're aware, but the audience might not be, I used to work for a supplement company, Metrex. And I was constantly on the road, but at night I would be writing content even back then for different sites like bodybuilding.com and you know, the various big players in that type of space. And people are like, Matt, like, how do you do your job with Metrex, but then, you know, you're still pumping out all of this content? It doesn't make sense. Like, something has to give. And I used to tell them, I'm just so good at multitasking. And what I found with my business now is multitasking, like, just crushes my productivity. Like, I literally need to have blocks in my day of I'm setting X amount of time for this project.
Interesting.
And then, you know, the next block is dedicated to this. And I try to automate as much as possible. So there's like various social media stuff. Like I'm putting out multiple pieces of content on social media every day, but everything is scheduled. So I have a block where I go in and I schedule all of my stuff. And it could be well in advance. Like I have stuff scheduled for January of 2019 already. So, you know, I just try to work ahead and be as productive as possible. And we can actually go into a couple of you know, my main productivity tips and hacks if we want to do that as well. But I mean, you have to have a set schedule. I mean, that's the biggest thing that has been an eye opener for me, that you can't be working on five different projects or tasks at a time and think that you're going to be able to devote the attention that's needed to actually do the best that you can for whatever that that task or project is.
That makes total sense to me. And I can see in my own personal life where I've gotten hung up in situations like that, where I am trying to multitask. And then I start feeling like I'm moving in circles, but I'm not getting a lot done. I'm still hung up on something though. Did you tell me that you have social media stuff scheduled for as late as January 19th?
I do. And well, if you think that's funny, here's the even funnier thing. With some of the contracts that I have with clients, we're working all the way through, you know, a social and content schedule through 2020. And let me just quick grab this paper here. Let's see.
Right.
One of my clients, I'm not going to say their name. I'm done writing content for them, and I do multiple pieces of content for them every single month. I'm done writing content through April of 2020.
Holy cow.
I mean, literally, I work nonstop. I'm probably in my office, and this is even, you know, after I'm done doing, you know, the husband and father type thing, probably till at least 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I'm up early in the morning in the office as well. But you know, I just love what I do, and you know, I just keep pumping out the content. They give me all the ideas that they want, you know, the social or the keywords rather that they want included into the content pieces, and they just say go to town. So I work ahead, and you know, it allows me to take on more projects. And I mean, the tough thing is, and I'm sure you know this, and you've probably heard it as well. I mean, in order to grow your business to a large, you know, revenue producing business, it takes a team. And right now it's just me. You know, you can say I'm a solopreneur. And that's fine for me. And the way that I run my business currently, it works because of how I schedule everything. But I mean, I'm not, you know, naive to think that I'm going to be able to do this for the rest of my life without, you know, having somebody come on to help me do some things, especially like admin type stuff, like updating the website, putting content up on my website that I've written for various outlets and stuff like that. But I just love what I do. And I mean, I think if you're passionate about anything, you know, that you do, whether it's a hobby or your job, you know, it's never really, you know, so-called work.
Yeah. Do you ever get overwhelmed? Because it sounds like you're balancing and juggling a lot of different things at once. And there's the thing I find that comes up is there's the unplanned variables. There's the emergency dental work that you have to do that you didn't expect. It sounds like you've definitely got a lot of planning ahead, but at the same time, what happens when you get caught in a situation where things start feeling like they're unraveling? What do you do then?
You know, it's funny. I haven't had too many instances where I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have no idea how I'm going to get this done. Like I'm the type of person that I feed off of stress and I put myself under, you know, the stress. It's not like I have the flexibility to pick and choose who I work with, which helps.
Okay.
But I have a problem saying no. So when, you know, somebody contacts me and they're like, hey, Matt, you know, I want 4 pieces of content every month. Are you able to do that? And I mean, right now, I mean, I'm working with over 30 different supplement companies. So I'm doing a ton of content, and not every piece of content gets, you know, my name put on it. A lot of times they just put it up and they take ownership of it. You know, in a sense, I'm kind of like a ghostwriter. But then I do a whole bunch of the copywriting behind the scenes for a lot of these brands, doing their copy for their labels, for the product page up on their website, doing, you know, different content pieces revolving around unique ingredients that they're using in the profile so that they can put that up on their blog and stuff like that. So I feed off of pressure, but at the same time, it's a manageable type of pressure.
Yeah.
Where, you know, again, it comes back to how I schedule my day. When I write out everything that needs to get done for the day and how I prioritize that and the blocks that all of this stuff is going to, you know, go into, it's manageable. So while it's somewhat chaotic and literally, you know, when people come into my office and they sit down and they're like, how are you getting all of this stuff done? Sometimes I'm kind of like, I don't know, but I have to get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a priority, going back to what we said originally. But, you know, I just feed off of the pressure. I love working. I love busting out as much content as I can, you know, making sure that it's quality pieces. But, you know, for me, I just want to maximize every single second of my day.
Okay. So let's just run through it a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your day. I've talked to a couple people and asked them about this kind of stuff, because I think that we can, like I said in the beginning, we can all learn from this. How do you break it down? Like, let's actually look at it.
Well, I think the biggest time sucker for most people these days, and it's two things actually. One is social media. I think we get sucked into that portal where, you know, you're scrolling through your feed and, okay, you're liking this, you're commenting here. Oh, somebody commented on something I posted. Let's go look at that. And, you know, before you know it, 15, 20, 25 or more minutes of your day was just sucked away. And you're like, oh my God, like, it's now, you know, whatever time. I need to go do this.
Yeah.
So, you know, social media is something that if you have a business and you have to be on it, okay. But get what you need done and get off. You know, maybe have a time block, like at the end of the day, where you go in and you answer all of your comments and maybe you interact with some of the people on their pages, you know, depending if you want to get in with, you know, the customers or vendors or, you know, whatever the case may be. And email is the second thing. I can't tell you how many times up until I would say maybe 6 months ago, that I would keep my email open, and every time I would see that little notification that I have an email, I would immediately stop what I was doing to go check that email, as if it were to say, your house is on fire, get out now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it consumes so much of my time, but more than that, it took my focus away from the project that I was working on.
Absolutely.
And research has shown that, like, if you get pulled away from something, even if it's only for, you know, say a minute, it's going to take you about 20 minutes to mentally get back into the flow.
Wow.
And I've actually seen this firsthand, to the point where if I answer my phone or if I answer a text or an email, whatever the case may be, I have to go back and almost reread the entire thing that I wrote in terms of my content, just to get back in the flow of, okay, where the heck was I going with this?
Yeah.
Like, I stopped off and I can't pick back up. So then I end up spending all of that time rereading just to get back into the flow. So, you know, my day does not start with opening up emails because I'm not going to be on someone else's time. You know, that might sound greedy and I might sound like a jerk, but I'm not going to start my day and predicate how that is going to be shaped based off of someone else's fire that they want me to help put out. So I get done what I need to get done, and that's a priority for me first and foremost. And for me personally, and it varies, you know, based off of people's mileage, would be I'm most creative in the morning. So I'm going to bust out as much content from the time that I wake up until about lunchtime, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And then from there, that's where everything breaks down into smaller blocks. So I have a block where I focus on answering emails. I have a block that focuses on social media, both answering on my social media and planning out social media on Buffer where I can go in and schedule that stuff. And, you know, obviously I have the block where it's family time. I go pick up my son from daycare. I bring him home. We have family time. We have dinner. We play. I put him to bed. I read him a story. And then, you know, I have a block where, you know, I either spend time with my wife or, you know, if she's going to be busy, then that time is dedicated back to me going into the office to get work done.
Okay.
So every single day has a block and a segment for a purpose. And again, it's for me, and I can only speak for myself, is I want to maximize my time as much as I can. I don't want my day to be dictated on somebody else. And that's why I only open my emails really in the afternoon, because, you know, it's somebody else wants help from me. And if I try and give that to them too early, it's not going to do them any good. And it's not like the house is on fire that I need to handle something immediately.
Yeah.
If there was a problem, somebody would be picking up the phone. And I can get into that as well. That's another one of my little hacks for productivity. They would send me a text or call me, and I'm assuming they're going to be on my bypass list. So my phone does not ding, buzz, ring. It doesn't make a sound throughout the day unless you're on a list of people that I bypass, which are generally you know, clients or family. Other than that, if it's – and again, I'm probably going to sound like a jerk, but if it's a friend, it's not going to go off. You know, I will answer their text, their email. I will listen to their voicemail when I have time.
No, this makes total sense, and I was going to ask you that. So that first block, you've got your creative block from, you know, whatever, morning until early afternoon. That at that time, this applies. You're not going to be hearing from anybody unless it's, say, super important, you're saying.
Exactly. Like if my wife is like, hey, the babies are crying. I need help to, you know, calm one of them down while I'm feeding the other one or whatever the case may be. Cool. I'm on it.
But a dumb question for you.
Yeah. Now,
I know you have an iPhone. Is that something a feature on the iPhone you could set up?
It is, and it's probably not the most efficient. I'm assuming there's probably a better way to do it.
Yeah.
But on my phone, I put it on Do Not Disturb.
Okay.
And I turn off every single notification. So all the social notifications. I think I have the weather. I think I have the weather on just because, like, if I'm gonna get hit with the tornado, like, I kind of want to know that I'm gonna get hit by a tornado before it gets here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, other than that, my phone doesn't go off, and that's just something that I learned over time. And again, it goes back to maximizing every single second.
Yeah.
When my phone would ding, I would think it's something important.
Yeah.
And instead, it's just somebody commented on a friend of a friend of a friend's post. And I'm like, this is serving me no purpose. Like, why am I looking at this? Why am I, you know, why am I pulling away from my content piece for this? So I'm like, I'm shutting it down. Everything's done. Like, only certain people are getting through. And I mean, I have people who get pissed off and they're like, well, you know, you never pick up your phone. I'll never do business with you.
Ooh.
That's fine. Like, if you don't value your own time, that's fine. But my time is my time, and my time is dedicated to my clients.
I get what you're saying.
Cool, I'll get back to you.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying, man. You want to be your best first, so that you can help others at your best. Is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of sound like a jerk, but I mean, the people who actually do it and they understand how much more they can get done, you know, how productive they can be throughout the day when they're not constantly interrupted. I mean, I get phone calls probably every 10 minutes from either solicitors or, you know, people who want to work with me, you know, people who have questions, people who find me on Google and they want to learn more, whatever the case may be. Yeah. And I appreciate every single person that reaches out, and I get back to every single one of them. Mm. But again, it's on my time. Yeah. So when I have the time to respond, I do so, and I put in full effort to answer their questions, help them out when I can. They want to be a client. Cool. Let's get your information. Let's figure it out. Let's strategize. They get my full attention at that point. It's unfair for me to give somebody a half-assed attention span because I'm focused on another task. So for that reason, I'm going to put my full effort into the project that I'm working on right now. And when I get back to whoever, they will get my 100%, you know, attention, no interruptions. So I think it's a fair trade-off.
Yeah, and I think we've all been, responsible for having and a victim too. Not paying enough attention in, say, an interaction with somebody. And we've had it happen to us. So I totally get where you're coming from, man. This is cool. So this is like a little hack that you figured out on your own, almost out of necessity. And it takes me back. I remember when I was a kid, we didn't have, all this technology that was just encroaching in on us. If you sat down at, you know, your desk to try to get some work done, you didn't have, you know, your cell phone going off. You didn't have everything else happening. And I feel like, yeah, that's definitely, I can see it, the best time. I'm working through this in my head, basically, Matt, because I'm going to apply this. Can you give us any other little tips of that nature that you've found have helped you to be the successful person you are today?
I think it really comes down to prioritizing your tasks and your projects. If you have a deadline that's due by the end of the day, don't work on something that's due next week.
Sure.
Even if it's the easiest task. And it goes back to what I said, my creativity is always elevated in the morning. So I know when I have tough tasks and tough projects that I need to take care of and work on, it has to get done in the morning. So it's going to be prioritized. And I'll make a list and say, okay, I have to get this done, this done, this done, this done, and this done. I'll either write it on a piece of paper or I have a whiteboard next to my desk.
Okay.
And I'll write it down. And then from there, I will either mark it as an A, B, or a C. Hmm. And then that will be A is, this is setting the world on fire. It has to get done today. A B will be, yes, it's a priority, but it doesn't have to get done today, but it needs to get done in the coming days. And then a C would be, hey, you can get this done whenever, such as putting blog posts up on my page and creating those, you know, for myself, not for clients. You know, that can take the back burner. And then, you know, for every A, B, and C, you can mark down, okay, this is a 1, meaning this needs to get done first. 2, this gets done second, and you can kind of strategize your day of what it's going to look like and how you're going to flow through your work.
I've heard other people using a whiteboard. This is and I think that because I've asked myself, hey, is this something I want to try? And I feel like it's got to be something you got to set the habit. So is that something that you'll start your morning out by actually writing out what those tasks are going to be each day then?
Yeah, I'll either before I leave the office at night or in the morning, either one, I will write down exactly what I have to get done. And for me, it's a visual thing because you can very easily get caught up in the day and forget about things that you were supposed to get done.
Yeah.
And it's the same with my calendar. And it's kind of goofy, but going back to like my phone where nothing dings or buzzes, that's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because then I don't get my updates for my calendar. So let's say like this interview, my phone's not going to buzz and say, hey, Matt, you have a podcast interview with Scott. So but for me, I allow my Apple Watch to do all that for me.
Yeah.
So all I have to do is take a quick glance on my watch and say, okay, you know, 11 o'clock Skype interview with Scott.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's I try and make things as simple as possible for my life and as visual as possible, because I'm so busy that I can very easily forget to do something. So I have to have everything written down and strategize in terms of a priority list of when I need to get things done.
Okay. And, you know, and I think that the idea of like, let's write this down, let's use a whiteboard, that stuff sounds really basic, but it's stuff that a lot of us aren't doing. And I can say, at least in my own life, I know that I could use better organization. I'm actually looking to what you're doing to see where I can improve my own organizational skills. You mentioned the word automation, and we started talking about social media. Do you use any type of an automation app? Because I know they have apps out there that will synchronize everything between Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. You can put in one thing, it'll go everywhere. Or do you put that stuff in individually?
No, I use Buffer for that. It's a desktop version, and they also have an app. But literally, that's what I do. And then obviously for each social media platform, things are going to be a little bit different, whether it's you can only have a certain number of characters or, you know, with Instagram, the big thing is hashtags. So you can put in more hashtags. Hmm. You know, with LinkedIn, you want to be a little bit more descriptive, because for me, LinkedIn is a B2B type of platform where I'm trying to showcase the things that I'm doing and entice other, you know, supplement companies or fitness companies or whoever to say, wow, okay, this guy's on top of things. He knows what he's doing. I like what he's saying, the content he's producing, you know, I want to work with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I changed things a little bit for LinkedIn and everything has, you know, its place, but it makes my life so much easier when I can write out exactly what I need. And then it can go across all the different platforms. And then I can just go into each one individually on that app, on that app or software, and just make the changes. And then I can schedule it. And I don't even have to worry about it. It'll automatically launch, you know, whenever I tell it to launch.
Wow.
So, like, you know, I'm going to have something launching today at 1 o'clock. I'm going to have something launching today at 3 o'clock. And all of that is totally automated. I went in, I plugged in what I wanted, you know, put in the pictures, you know, the hashtags, and, you know, whatever copy I wanted in there. I set the date, the time, and I'm done. So it allows me the freedom of, and again, not having to go into social media, because if I were to have to go onto Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and post individually, more than likely, something's going to catch my eye and I'm going to get sidetracked, which I don't want to do. So automation with the social media side of things is a blessing for me, because it keeps me off of social media and it also allows me to schedule things out, which, you know, I love planning ahead.
Oh, that's cool, man. So, you know, like we were talking before we started and as you've been talking here, a lot of the stuff you're doing now is online and through the internet. But you were recently celebrated in your town, right? What was that all about? You guys had there was a 40 under 40 celebration, an award ceremony?
Yeah, I knew about it for maybe a month and a half, and I wasn't able to say anything. You know, I could hint like, hey, I got big news coming up, you know, stuff like that. I can't wait to share it, which is what I did on social. But yesterday was kind of the big day, the unveiling. They put it in the newspaper, you know, it was on, you know, different television news channels and stuff like that. And they had it at, it's called the Goggle Works, and it's like a big art gallery type of building, and they have a whole bunch of different, you know, ceremonies and awards and stuff to take place in there. And that's where it was held. So it was a 40 under 40. They basically said the award recognized people who were leaders, you know, people driven by success and experts in their industry, motivated by challenges, you know, role models for their peers and stuff like that, which, you know, for me, I was surrounded by a bunch of surgeons and doctors and and attorneys and accountants and stuff like that. So I'm kind of looking around like, wow, like, do I really belong here? Like, I'm, you know, pretty much known just as, you know, a content writer and copywriter.
Well, it's great, great company, man.
Oh, it was an amazing experience. And the fact that I was included in a 40 under 40, when there are so many amazing people that are out there doing tremendous things, I was just completely honored and humbled.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So this was a local thing. You mentioned they had like the newspaper there and everything else. I imagine that had to be a lot of fun. And it's cool that you could be celebrated, because the way I feel is, you know, especially when you're working online, you're doing a lot of stuff. But as far as walking out in public in your local town, they might not necessarily always hear about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, in my profession, being, you know, a content creator, mostly, you know, written form, written content, nobody really remembers the people who create the content. Unless people are going to your site. If I wrote an article for, you know, jimbob.com, you know, or whatever website that you want to insert there.
Yeah.
Most people will look at something and say, you know, 10 ways to, you know, drop body fat fast, or, you know, here's a workout to build the arms of your dreams, or whatever the case may be. People are like, yeah, I want to click that. They click on it, they start reading the article. Yeah. Nobody really looks at the author or who wrote the piece. So, you know, it's hard to really get recognized for your work in this type of profession, unless you have a really big name and a following and your own website and, you know, some place to really showcase your own work.
Yeah.
But the same goes said for, you know, print publication, whether it's a newspaper, or I know fitness magazines for the most part these days are dead. But, you know, back in the day, you know, you had your list of people that you would follow because they were the big names. But it's really hard to get, you know, any type of accolades or recognition as a writer or author.
Yeah. That makes sense, man. I think that's it's really cool just overall. Do you have any parting tips for us? Anything else we haven't talked about that you think would be important to mention? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that want to do more than they're currently doing. I myself being one of them. And we want to turn to people like yourself that I feel like have really good organizational skills. Anything else that you can think of that would be important we haven't covered yet?
I think, you know, not really related to organization or productivity is just the power of the mind.
Hmm.
For me, I've always been one to talk myself in or out of something. And I think a lot of people can relate. And it really comes down to, and I can't remember the person who said it, but the quote goes like this. It's, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
I've heard that, yeah.
And for me, it's so powerful, because I look at everything that I do during the day in my life, you know, trying to be a good parent and raise my son, and teach him, you know, the ways of the world, you know, how things should be. And I want to not only instill in myself, but everybody that I talk to, that, you know, the power of thought is extremely powerful. I know in our industry, Kai Green, he uses thoughts become things.
Yeah.
That's his claim to fame. And it's 1,000% accurate. You have to believe that what you're doing is right, or that you can do something, because it's very easy to, you know, say that the glass is half empty rather than half full, and look at, you know, the negative side of something versus a positive. So I think we need to just shift the way that we think and shift the way that we see ourselves as people and individuals and what we're capable of, because people are way more capable than they think that they are. And they just talk themselves out of a lot of stuff. You know, people say, I can never be a business owner, or I could never lose weight, or I can never put on muscle mass, or I could never do this or never do that. And immediately they're talking themselves out of, you know, whatever they're trying to achieve. So, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to wake up and the next day you're going to be like, I'm going to, you know, think positivity, and, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Like, it's going to take time. But, you know, the more that you change the way that you think, the better off that you're going to be.
Yeah, that makes total sense, man. And it's a great message. If people want to follow you, tell us about where they can find you on social media. Tell us about your website, the blog. Where can they reach out?
Yeah, the website is literally the hub for everything. So okay. Weik Fitness, W-E-I-K, fitness.com. From there, you can go right to my social media. You can engage with me. You can actually contact me directly from the website. The blog's on there. There's free articles, free podcasts. There's interviews, the ebooks, audio books, you name it, is on there. But if you want to go directly to social media, everything is at Weik Fitness.
Easy enough.
Very easy.
And guys, we'll have all that stuff in the show notes too. So if you don't have a pen and paper handy while you're listening, you can always just go to the social media stuff for the show or to the iTunes notes, and we'll have all the links there. Matt, it's about 12:07 right now on the Eastern Seaboard. What's the next plan for the day?
I think after this, I'm just going to quick grab a bite to eat, and then I'll probably jump right into some emails, and then from there, I actually have a ton of content that I got to do today, because I was busy with the ceremony yesterday, so I didn't get all the stuff done that I wanted to get done then, but I mean, there's nothing setting the world on fire. It's a very laid-back type of productive day.
Nice, man. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you taking it. I know how valuable it is to you.
Oh, I appreciate being on, Scott.
All right, guys, for another episode of Advices Radio with Matt Weik, I'm Scott McNally. We will see you soon. All right, guys, and up next we have with us VJ's wife, Erin Peary. She is going to talk to us all about skin restoration and hair removal and Botox and all that fun stuff. All right, guys, and up next, I am with Erin Peary of Youthology in Brighton. We are going to talk about a lot of things relating to cosmetics. We're going to talk about skin restoration, hair removal, and a lot of things that you might not think about for a bodybuilding show. These are things that I think a lot of the females are interested in. I know that, as we diet, we tax ourselves, really. And our bodies, our skin, it gets taxed. You can get aged before your time, and treatments like this are able to prevent some of those things, and in some cases, restore issues. So, Erin, thanks for being with me.
Absolutely, thanks for having me on, Scott.
And all you guys know Erin, kind of, because she is the wife of my partner VJ from Bodybuilding Nerds. What's it like being married to a nerd? Let me ask you that.
You know what? Life is good. He is he's a wonderful man. He's a super laid back guy, and I don't know if this is good or not, but it's pretty easy life. We have a good marriage, and we've got our little fur baby family. And
yes,
honestly, I have to give credit to our parents, though. I feel like he and I both had a very similar upbringing, and I feel like because of that, it just gives us a really healthy foundation in our relationship. And I'm thankful for our families and for each other every day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You guys are a great couple, and I always enjoy spending time with the two of you and the dogs too. So, I want to tell you too, I know all about Youthology. I have been there myself. Erin treated me for acne scarring, which I had gotten years ago. And honestly, I would say that it definitely made a difference over the long term. Erin, what was that treatment that we did?
Yeah, so we did a series of fractional non-ablative laser treatments, which it's on the platform by Palomar. It's an Icon laser. And basically what we did was created all these tiny little microscopic injuries to the skin in each treatment. And so what the body then does as a response to that is it stimulates the production of collagen and elastin, which then helps to resurface the skin, strengthen the skin, and really kind of help to give you a smoother appearance.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'll tell you, it was an interesting experience. So this is a laser, basically. To dumb it down for me, this is a laser, and it's you've got like a little gun thing in your hand that's hooked to a machine, and you press it against my skin, and while you're doing that, you basically press the button and fire it off. It feels kind of like a little pinprick, basically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now you've done this yourself as well, right?
I have. You know, Scott, honestly, the reason I actually wanted to get into aesthetics and specifically in the med spa industry is because I struggled with my own skin in my teen years and in my 20s. And so much like you, you know, I had sort of some residual effects from that with acne scarring. And when I started to realize that you can make an improvement on your skin and that there's all these wonderful treatments out there, it totally propelled me to want to help others and want to be able to do that for other people as well. So yeah, I've done a lot of treatments myself. I'm actually probably guilty of overprocessing my skin because I've got access to doing chemical peels and facials and laser treatments and microneedling and laser hair removal. You pretty much name it. We've got kind of a playland there.
That's cool. Yeah. And I'm sure anybody would be in the same situation. I remember you had like a little scar or something from like falling off a bike or something like that. Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was an embarrassing moped accident.
And you were able to make a lot of progress kind of resurfacing that skin.
I did. Yeah. It was probably something that I actually should have had stitches for, but by using that laser and, you know, doing 6 to 8 treatments, I think I finally ended up doing, I was able to smooth it out and really help to resurface that scar, which just to kind of touch on that a little bit, Scott, the laser treatments are great for acne scars, stretch marks, fine lines, wrinkles, even addressing skin tone. So if you've got an irregular skin tone, maybe it's brownish pigment or you've got some redness, it helps with that as well.
Interesting. Yeah, there's more and more women, I think, in our industry are getting involved in stuff like this. I can tell you my situation that I had, you know, I had acne as a kid and I was prone to it and my skin got fairly clear. I started using Retin-A I started getting back acne, and that was due to supplementation that I was using. I got a hold of this Retin-A. And then I found out, I was told, hey, if you apply this to your face, this can almost like keep your skin young is what I understood. Now, this stuff was one of the really high percentages of it. And it turns out my skin is very sensitive. And by using this on my face, it triggered a terrible breakout, which it gave me, I was very embarrassed of it for a long time. You know, it changed the way I viewed myself. It changed the way I interacted with the world. And I honestly felt like, oh, from this point forward, I look different. I am different. I feel different. It was a bad thing. It took time to get acceptance for that, which I did. And over time, it did gradually heal. But I will say, I think I went in with you for, I believe it was 4 treatments, possibly 5. And we progressively turned it up a little bit each time. Mm-hmm. And I can say that over the long haul, like within the short term, it looked better because there was more inflammation in the skin and it made it look more filled out. But in the long term, it did, I think, regenerate things and things, you know, my skin did look smoother. So thank you very much because, you know, that was something that was deeply rooted for me, you know, to my identity of who I was. And it was, you know, our skin is a big deal, I guess, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I have a personal experience with that as well. And I think that's why I got so great at applying makeup because I was trying to always cover scars and imperfections and things like that. And thankfully, as a woman, we can get away with wearing that. And I suppose some men, if they liked to go down that route too, but it's a lot harder for men because you don't really have anything that you can hide behind. So I have a lot of empathy for you, for anyone who has felt like that, because I know how that feels. And I think that if there are treatments out there that can help us improve ourselves and improve our self-esteem, I say if you have the means to do it, why not, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's a great attitude and a cool reason to be involved in this. So we talked a little bit about that laser. Are there any other treatments, while we're on the topic of acne, that could be beneficial for restoring the surface of the skin?
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like with acne, and again, it's different for each person and what kind of treatment plan I would put them on. But there can be things such as chemical peels, you know, including glycolic acid, salicylic acid. Those types of treatments are really great for preventative. I think especially kind of touching on women, as we go through our monthly cycle, if someone is prone to breaking out hormonally, which so many women are, if you can get a chemical peel containing salicylic acid about a week before you're supposed to start your period, it can actually just work tremendously for you. Simply because about a week, about 7 to 10 days before, our oil production starts to kick up. And so that's when our pores are going to get clogged much more easily. So if you can sort of be proactive and get a nice deep cleansing of the skin and a chemical peel, you can sort of help to shuttle out some of that excess sebum and those overactive sebaceous glands. And it's like preventative, really, for, as you know, for breaking out as much.
Okay. How long does something like that take, out of curiosity?
You know, usually I schedule about an hour. I usually try to incorporate some type of a facial in there as well. You know, deep cleansing, steam. Usually there's extractions involved as well.
Cool. It's a whole other world to me. That's not something that I'm familiar with whatsoever. Is it painful?
No, you know what? It's actually quite comfortable. The most common feelings are maybe a little tingling or a little itchiness in the skin. But the acids stay on the skin for such a short period of time, you know, usually anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes, and then it's rinsed off and you're nice and glowy and luminous and feeling like your pores are tighter and your skin is nice and clean and refreshed.
Yeah. So the laser that you initially were talking about, I can't remember the exact term, but I thought I heard you say something about non-bladed. Is there a bladed procedure as well?
Yeah. So what you're referring to is the non-ablative.
Oh, non-ablative. Okay.
Yeah. So all that means is we're resurfacing the skin, but we're creating all these tiny little microchannels, but we're also leaving the majority of the skin intact. So there are treatments out there with a lot of different lasers that are ablative. And what that means is you're going to be, ablative.
Okay.
So you'll be looking at anywhere from 5 to 10 days downtime, because your skin would be oozing and raw and open. The benefit to that is that you cover much more ground in a single treatment versus like what we did with you with a fractional non-ablative. You have to come in for more treatments, but you have a lot less downtime.
Okay.
So there are definitely benefits to either, but most of my clients, if they're going to be having to take 7 to 10 days for downtime, they want to be on a beach somewhere or on vacation, you know, not sitting somewhere with cream on their face at home for that period of time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, what I experienced was redness, and you said it would be like a sunburn almost, which that's the way it felt. My face would get real hot almost, real warm, you know, over the next hour. And then from there, it would just go down. By a couple hours later, I was kind of back up and running. You did mention that procedure to me. And at the time, I had worked a full-time day job where I did have to leave. I could consider something like that now because, well, I could work from home and just not show my face, literally.
There you go.
Not show my face for 7 to 10 days anywhere. But that definitely sounds like something that could be interesting to look into. Are there any other procedures that we should discuss when it comes to scarring and whatnot?
Yeah. You know, another treatment that is phenomenal for that is what's called microneedling. And it's been around for some time. I'd say, I don't know, maybe 7 to 10 years. But we launched it at Youthology about a year and a half ago. And we've been seeing such tremendous results with it because it covers an array of skin concerns. So very similar to the concerns someone would have that would make them a good candidate for a laser would also make them a good candidate for microneedling. So fine lines, acne scars, stretch marks, but more specifically pore size. And I think the great thing about microneedling is what we're doing is essentially creating these little controlled injuries in the skin so that the body has this defense mechanism of stimulating collagen and elastin production, which strengthens our skin, which helps to plump our skin up. And that's really what anybody should want for their skin, whether they have acne scars or they're just looking for just general anti-aging treatments. I think that's actually why we've been so successful with it, is because it's great for anyone, you know, especially someone who's just maybe in their late 20s, early 30s, all the way to someone who's maybe we're looking to be more corrective with, who's maybe in their 60s or you know, early 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So the preventative stuff, that's the direction you're saying to look almost now, so that when you do get older, you won't have to repair things, basically.
Absolutely. Prevention is so much easier than correction. You know, and that kind of ties in with sort of the umbrella of service offerings at Youthology, because we offer, we have two nurses that do Botox and then dermal fillers, which you kind of mentioned earlier, and you can definitely be preventative with Botox treatments as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you think about that wrinkle, and I always say, you know, people will say, when should I start getting it? If you have a wrinkle when your face is at rest, that's usually an indication that you've got a breakdown of collagen there. Hmm. So you want to stop that muscle from being able to move in that position. And that's really all Botox does, is it relaxes that muscle so that it can't keep going into that motion and breaking that collagen down.
Hmm. How long does Botox last for?
You know, anywhere from 3 to 4 months is usually a pretty good average. I would venture to say, though, that a lot of your listeners might go through it a little quicker because just the way they metabolize things, and it is a toxin. So I find that people who are really active and, you know, take good care of their health and their bodies, they go through it a little quicker, maybe 2.5 to 3 months.
Okay. Okay. I've also heard of people using hyaluronic acid. That was a topic that people are actually using that as almost a muscle filler to kind of create site enhancement. But before that, that's used as a filler as well, correct?
Yeah. So most of the dermal fillers that we use, some of the common ones are Juvederm, Volbella. Those are all hyaluronic acid based. Okay. So they just really help to restore volume. So, you know, there's people that will come in and they'll say, you know, these are my concerns. My cheeks are hollowed, under my eyes are hollowed, and then maybe they've got some wrinkles. So we would look at them sort of as a whole picture. So we may recommend dermal fillers as well as Botox, potentially maybe some peels or microneedling treatments, because we want to correct what their concerns are, but we also want to put them on a maintenance plan so that they can keep, you know, maintaining those results that they get from these services.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. That's definitely interesting. I guess, you know, another topic that would be interesting to cover would be hair removal, because I know that that's something that a lot of women specifically, I know, deal with. I knew a woman who was, you know, she would grow hair, you know, along a longer jawline, basically. And she would go in for like a laser hair removal treatment on a regular basis, just to kind of keep that down. Is that the type of thing that you guys do as well?
We do. Yeah. The laser that we have actually has 3 different treatment heads. The one is the laser that we talked about with what you did, which is the fractional non-ablative for resurfacing. The second hand piece is what's called IPL. It stands for intense pulsed light, commonly also referred to as a photofacial. And that addresses brown spots, redness, and broken capillaries.
Hmm.
And the third hand piece is the laser hair removal.
So you're telling me that you can use the same laser to do any number of those things?
Yes.
What is it through? Like, just out of curiosity, is it different settings or something?
So they're different hand pieces, and then they each have different wavelengths.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And the laser hair removal handpiece that we have is IPL based. And all that means to the client is that it's going to be a much more comfortable treatment versus like an alexandrite or a diode laser, which those are going to penetrate deeper, but they also come with a little more discomfort. So the laser hair removal is very, very popular. You know, as long as you have hair that is at least like a medium brown or darker, because we need that pigment in the hair follicle for the laser to actually be able to identify it and treat it. So as long as you have that medium brown or darker hair, you're generally speaking a great candidate for laser hair removal.
Okay. Now, with a process like this, how often do you have to go, and is this permanent, or is it something you have to continue to come back for? How does that work?
Yeah, so depending on the area is how we figure how often you come for your treatments. But kind of as a rule of thumb, you would count on about 8 treatments spaced anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks apart. And as far as is it permanent, so if anyone tells you that laser hair removal is 100% and permanent, I would do some more research, because it's never going to be 100%, but a good result is anywhere from 80 to 90% reduction at the completion of your treatment plan. And some people get better results. So those individuals who have fair skin and darker hair will always get the best results. Simply because the laser is looking for pigment. So when you have a contrast of lighter skin with darker hair, it finds that pigment really easily. And so a ton of energy goes into that hair follicle and sort of just blasts it, so to speak. It kills off that active growth phase.
Okay.
And then that's how the timing works out, is we go through different growth cycles with our hair. And so we want to time it back out so that you're on the anagen growth cycle, so that every time there's a new spur in growth, we're treating you and we're killing off that phase.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard that before. How long would it take if I were to, say, grow my beard out? How long would it take before all of it had been grown out?
Oh, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of different factors that would come into that. I mean, it varies for each person. It could be 4 weeks to maybe 8 weeks.
Oh, wow. See, I had no idea. I didn't know if you're going to say 4 days. You know, it's, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Are there any other treatments that we should talk about today? I know you mentioned, I know you don't do this yourself, but Youthology does offer hair restoration as well.
Yes, we do. And that's actually through the microneedling device that we have, as well as PRP, which it's something that our nurse and owner, Chris, would do a consultation with you for. And it can be a really life-changing experience as well.
No kidding. Is there anything else we should talk about as far as procedures that are available?
You know, the only other thing I would say is that it can be overwhelming out there with this industry, with skincare and treatments and services. And I think my best recommendation for anyone, no matter where you live, is to research the service providers and meet with them. Most of them will do a complimentary consultation for you and get a feel for if they really want to work with you to put you on a treatment plan and really walk you along the process to actually change and improve your skin. And I feel very blessed and lucky enough to work in a setting that I can do facials and peels, and I can be, you know, more maintenance related, but we can also be preventative and corrective as well. And I think you want to find someone that can really work with you on all those aspects. And it's going to be a partner with you, really.
Yeah, that makes total sense. While I've got you here, you know, I think a lot of the stuff we've been talking about, these are, you know, advanced, you know, protocols to either restore skin or to really aggressively maintain it. But can we talk a little bit about just general skin care? And maybe I'd like to hear some of your recommendations on, you know, what we should be using, especially for a lot of us guys out here. We just wash our faces with what we got, you know, basically.
Sure.
What do you recommend for skincare in general?
So the top three things I would say that really everyone should be using first and foremost is an SPF. You know, we hear it all the time. Sun exposure is actually the number one cause of aging. So just protecting your skin. And I always recommend the highest physical block that you can find. So that's usually a mineral-based zinc. A skincare line that I really love for sunscreens is Image Skincare. Yeah, so SPF would be my number one. Number two would be antioxidant protection. So most people are familiar with vitamin C. Vitamin C will lighten, brighten, and even your skin tone. So using a really nice, you know, more pharmaceutical grade vitamin C is imperative for protection for your skin and improving it.
And you're saying this is an oral vitamin C. This isn't like a topical type thing.
No, this would be topical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So we carry three lines at Youthology, which I absolutely think are great for everyone. And you can find these online as well if you're not in the local area. Image Skincare, Zio Skin Health, and Skin Better. Those lines are all really great to cover a host of different concerns and preventatives as well. But the third thing I would say would be some type of retinoid. So retinoids, retin A, they all come in different forms and percentages. And Scott, actually kind of referring back to what you mentioned, it sounds like you maybe were on a little bit too aggressive of a tretinoin or retin A, and you almost had so much inflammation that it was working against you.
Yeah.
The good thing is there are so many different levels of retinoids available. Another one I think that is great that you can actually get over the counter now, it used to be prescription. You can pick it up at like Target, Amazon, even Walgreens, is called Differin Gel.
Okay.
And that would be a really great kind of starter product for anyone who wants to start using a pharmaceutical grade retinoid. That product actually was on the market initially years ago as an acne treatment. And it was at a higher percentage. I think the reason they've been able to offer it over the counter is they've lessened the potency just a little bit. But it's a great product to get started on. It's something that I would say start light, so maybe every other night, and really less is more with it, so like a pea-sized amount. By using a retinoid, you're going to get a stimulation in collagen production, which in turn will help to improve the texture of your skin. And it's also going to help to turn over your cells, which is something that we all need to do as well.
Interesting. Well, this has been really cool. Any type of particular face soap that you recommend?
You know, based on different skin types, I think if you've got someone who is just, you know, normal skin, just a nice gentle cleanser that's not going to have any acids is great for someone like that. Right. I think if you're more on the skin type where you're oily, acne prone, look for something that's got a 2% salicylic acid in it. So that you can really help to deep clean those pores and shuttle out the excess sebum and impurities, and keep your pores as clean as possible so you can prevent the breakouts.
All right, cool. Anything else we should mention while I got you here, Erin?
Wow, no, I think this is good. I feel like we've covered a lot of different aspects of the business.
All right, awesome. So if people are here in Michigan and they wanted to stop out and see you guys and maybe get a consultation of some type, where can they find you?
So you can find us on Instagram or Facebook. The business is called Youthology, and it's in Brighton, Michigan. And you can call us. We can get you scheduled with a complimentary consultation. And it can be regarding skincare, or it could be, you know, dermal fillers or Botox related. But we'd love to meet you.
All right, cool. And what's the Instagram there?
The Instagram is Youthology101.
All right. Well, thank you very much for stopping by and sharing all this great information with us, Erin.
Thanks so much, Scott. It's been my pleasure.
All right, guys. Scott McNally here with Erin Puri and Youthology. Thanks for listening. All right, guys. Erin is an awesome person, and it's great to have her on. Up next, we are going to talk to Chris Collins from Moodoo and learn a little bit about DNA testing. All All right, guys, and welcome back to Advices Radio. Up next, I have with me Chris Collins. He works with a DNA testing company called Moodoo. Am I getting that right, Chris? Moodoo is how you say
it. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's how you say it.
M-U-H-D-O, Moodoo. Yeah, so tell me a little bit about, first of all, DNA testing. This is something that's kind of like brand new. Genetic testing is it's really popular. I'm hearing a lot about it, but I don't quite know what it is.
Okay, so basically DNA testing, it's been around actually for quite a while. It started to gain popularity in sports and fitness probably from around 2009. Basically what it is a test which tests the genes in your body. So basically when you're born, obviously you have a genetic code, you know, from your mother and father, and it's basically looking at the genes in the body. And obviously the genes in our body make our foundations. Sure. So they're like our base level of everything, you know, everything that we are, and that's the foundational level, and our environment builds upon that. So obviously something we can obviously see in people, so we can see their eye color, we can see their skin color. You know, this is our base DNA that's coming to be, and there's not much we can really do about that. I suppose you could say you could put contact lenses in and that'll change your eye color, and that's something, you know what I mean? But underneath that, you'll have the, you know, your natural eye color, which will be based on your DNA. And obviously because that's these obvious things, you know, we don't really question them. They're in our DNA, but the smaller hidden things are also in our DNA, and we can obviously see it in sports. You can't say that everyone who competes in the 100 meters isn't training their hardest, isn't doing their best, hasn't got the best coaches, isn't eating right. If they've got to like 100 meter Olympic games, they're going to be good at sprinting. But always somebody comes out on top. You know, there's always going to be a winner. And at the top level, that division between second and first is, you know, DNA. It's they're born with slightly better gifts above the other people around them, and that's why they win in a way. Everyone pushes themselves to the limit when they're at that level, and obviously that last little bit is their genetic limit, I suppose you want to call it.
Okay, so you got one guy who, you know, maybe has better genetics, and for that reason he can win the race. What can benefit us though from finding out where we're at genetics, other than just to verify, yep, that guy won because he was genetically better. How can I help myself by better understanding what's going on and what I'm built from?
Cool. So obviously from a bodybuilder perspective, imagine that you didn't have to go through the trial and error of working out which rep ranges work better for you, how much rest you should be taking, how many sessions a week you should be doing. The test basically tells you that. In fact, last year, a research project came out. It's a journal online you can get, and it was basically done on bodybuilders. And some bodybuilders were able to train 6 times a week. And they got, you know, good results from that, whereas others only train 3 times a week, but the results are actually similar. Bicep size, arm circumference, basically body fat percentage, muscle mass in general, they were actually very similar. Even though one trained in essence double the amount of other lot trained, and the reason being was based on their DNA. The people who trained only 3 times a week, they actually damaged more and they needed more time to recover, and due to that time in recovery, they allowed their muscles to heal better and their adaptations to be stronger. Now, people who trained 6 times a week didn't have that mutation in their DNA. And basically that meant that they could train more, and by doing that they got those results from training more, by having more volume, basically.
Interesting. One of the things that I've seen people talk about when they've had testing done is they've found out a lot about, you know, nutritionally what works best for them. Can you tell me a little bit about the things you can learn nutritionally? Because for us as bodybuilders, that's like a foundation. The training is obviously very important, and the nutrition is just as big of a factor.
Yeah. So obviously nutrition is key to everything that we do, and our response to certain food is also based on our DNA as well. And we can see that from an obvious level. So say you're born lactose intolerant, for example, you don't produce lactase, you can't eat dairy, you can't eat lactose. This is an obvious genetic mutation. You start eating milk, you feel sick, you know, you have diarrhea, and you have all the symptoms of lactose intolerant, which is a genetic predisposition there. And it's the same thing for all food. So some people do respond differently if they eat too much sugar, for example, when it comes to weight gain. Some people do respond differently to saturated fats or unsaturated fats. And some people actually utilize protein better. I remember when I was growing up, there used to be, you know, you shouldn't eat more than 40 grams of protein at once. You can't use it. You get rid of it. Yeah. And then some people would say, no, I do 80 grams, of, you know, and I feel fine. I feel like it helps me recover, etc. Everyone's got different views, but mainly because everybody's different. Everyone's got a slightly different genetic code, and everyone's responding differently to the food they eat. And in our DNA, that's basically what we're saying is that when you do the test, it's basically taking out trial and error. You don't have to try all these plans out. And it could be over 10 years that you finally find that, you know, that great way of training, which works perfectly for you. Imagine you had those 10 years back and you could actually utilize them and, you know, hit your peak, you know, at the peak age, you know, 31, 32, when you hit your peak. If you started the DNA test at 21, you had those 10 years to work perfectly towards your goal. Yeah. And from that nutrition level, you get that diet just right from the beginning.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I'm sure that you've done testing for yourself. Can you just tell me personally, what were some of the things you discovered about your own nutritional needs?
Okay, so my nutritional needs, I have a high risk of obesity. I'm not obese. In fact, I'm around 15% body fat, maybe 14% body fat at the moment.
Okay.
I've never actually been obese. But I do find that if I do overeat sugars, especially even if I have like fruits and things like this, if I overeat these things, I do put on weight quite quickly. So I am predisposed to being obese. I'm predisposed to having a high sensitivity to sugars and carbohydrates. And therefore, if I overeat these, I have a higher chance of putting on body fat, which is true for me. If I do overeat these things, I do put on body fat quite quickly. So the predisposition is there, even though it's not what I am, if that makes sense. Because I know the information. I know that if I overeat, I will put on body fat quite quickly, so I don't. I restrict myself from carbs. Unsaturated fats, though, for me, is quite healthy, and it helps not just my body weight in general, but it also helps towards lean mass, and it also helps towards my heart health as well. So I have increased my unsaturated fats in my diet. And another big aspect, obviously, what we do is not just the macronutrients, I suppose, but also the micronutrients. So your vitamins, your minerals, even supplements to some extent as well that we look at. So things like creatine response. And obviously, again, that's something you'll know about, people saying, I respond really well to creatine. And some people say it never worked for them. So again, we look at all of that. And obviously, for me, I had a high risk of being vitamin D deficient. And that was because I went out into the sun, I didn't utilize sunlight very well. So my skin didn't turn the sunlight into vitamin D in the body. So when I started taking vitamin D3 supplements, I actually had a massive benefit from that. It really helped. It just lifted my mood. I felt stronger in the gym. And that was one of the supplements that made the biggest impact on me. Was actually taking vitamin D3. And obviously in the UK, we don't actually have that much sunlight.
Right.
So utilizing little something like that I had, I probably was in deficiency of vitamin D.
Interesting. You mentioned that you discovered that you are better at processing fats. Is this something that you intuitively had kind of knew all along, and then you verified this through the testing? Or is it something that, was it like a light bulb going off?
No, it wasn't. I had an inkling about being able to utilize fats better. I felt that I had more energy when I ate more fat-based foods. And actually, when I ate more carbohydrates food, I actually seemed to have less energy. I felt more lethargic. And this was obviously just there in the back of my mind. And I think obviously that's something which everyone does. Everyone has something in the back of their mind which they think is right.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that for me was like something I thought was right. Do the test, and the test came back to what I thought was right. And obviously, because it cemented my own feelings. I don't have to then second guess myself.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm no longer second guessing myself when it comes to my diet, because what I thought was right is right. It's not like something. If I didn't do the test, I'd still be thinking, oh, maybe I should have more carbs before I train, sort of thing. But now I just don't. So now I know what works for me.
Interesting. Can you tell me a little more about some of the other factors that this testing would help people understand?
Okay, cool. So obviously the two main ones are training and also nutrition. Obviously you have micronutrients that we talked about before, the vitamins, the minerals and supplements. Also, we look at psychology as well. We have a look at a gene called COMT, and it basically represents how you deal with stress. And that's something which is really quite cool, because that's one of those things where people are like, oh, I've always thought that's the way I acted. I didn't actually realize why I acted that way. But that's, again, that's something which is really at a foundational level. You know, it's something which is there. It's like our innate, do we fight or do we run? And some people are more inclined to say fight, and some people are more inclined to run. Some people are more inclined to think about a situation and try and work it out. And some people are more inclined to just go headstrong into a situation, just bulldoze their way through. And again, these things are all based in our DNA. They're all from our evolution. And some people are different. And that's genetics are one of the reasons why we are so different in the way we think and, you know, the way our bodies are.
Interesting. So you're telling me that how I respond to, say, a conflict or, you know, an exciting situation, that comes down to genetics.
It could, in essence, come down to genetics from a very, very base level. So I'm saying the hormonal response, for example, like your dopamine response, your serotonin response, your adrenaline response, that comes down to it. So whether or not environmentally you've realized those responses and you've basically changed the way you think, because you said, look, I'm getting really angry now. I'm getting really frustrated, but I know how to calm myself down. So basically what you've done there is you put an environmental, you know, stop on your natural way of acting.
No kidding, man. That's kind of mind blowing to me. I've seen, I've talked to people who've done some of this testing. I've heard all sorts of results I would have never thought you could figure out. I mean, some of the things I think I have expected, like I've heard people talk about, like, whether they have the gene for baldness or not. Is that part of this as well?
Yeah. So we don't actually test for what I would call silly. Well, not silly, but they're sort of just there. A lot of testing companies do things like, you know, if your wax in your ear is wet or is it solid, or you know, for me, it's non-important stuff.
Okay.
If I'm bold, I look in the mirror and I can say, oh, look, I'm bold.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like saying, you know, again, where am I from? You know, if I'm Hispanic and I look in the mirror and I'm Hispanic, then that's it, really. I don't need to know that. I don't need a test to tell me that.
Right.
So our test mainly looks at things which you might know yourself, but if you know yourself, it's concrete slip. And if it's hopefully there's be stuff in there which you don't know. And there is some health stuff in there as well. So are you at risk of type 2 diabetes, for example? Are you at risk of bone mineral density loss? Things like this in high blood pressure. So, yeah, not like disease risk factors. We wanted to leave those out. But health risk, or lifestyle, you know, problems, lifestyle diseases like type 2 diabetes. And if you know you're at a high risk of it, then obviously with the test you can try and control your diet better, or try and control your exercise better to try and prevent it from ever happening.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So somebody does this test. How does that process work?
So the test is fairly easy. Basically, it's a mouth swab. So I don't know if you've ever seen someone be arrested and they do a DNA test. They put something in the mouth and they basically rub it up against the cheek and they put it in a little tube. It's the same thing. So you'll get a test in the post. You rub it up against your cheek after you don't want to eat, you know, a couple of hours beforehand. Make sure you have a clean mouth, basically. And then you rub this up against your cheek for about 30 seconds. You put it in a little tube and then you send it back to us. And that's all it is to it. Basically, every single cell in our body has our entire DNA code in it. So the cells in our cheek cells, again, are the same as any other cell. They have all our DNA code, and that's how we can utilize it.
Interesting. And you send this swab in, you guys process it, it gets analyzed. What do the results look like? Is this something that then they get emailed to them, and how do they interpret these things?
So basically the first thing is that you're registered a code. So when you get it in the post, you're registered this number which comes with it. When you get it, we basically everything's anonymous from our side. You just become a code. That way your data is safe, basically. So that code is really important to you, and you register that code on our system. And then when the results are ready, you'll get an email, and you can then go onto our dashboard and then use that code and your email address and password to log into your own personal space. And there you get all the results. In fact, on the website, or if you go to moodoo.com/try, there's actually a demo portal on there, so actually people can see what a sort of the results would look like. Anyway, so yeah, it's on the website, like a demo portal.
Interesting. And okay, cool. So it's the website is moodoo.com.
Yeah, that's it. And then if it's at the top of there, you'll see something called demo, and you just click on that basically.
Okay, now let's get down to the meat and potatoes of this. What are we talking here? What does something like this cost?
Okay, so in the UK, it's $249.99. That's in Great British pounds. In the US, it's a bit more due to the exchange rate. So it's about $260 odd. Okay. However, if you use the code ADVICES25, you'll get 25% off, making it just above $200.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And guys, I'm not making anything off this. We are just putting this out for your information. And I think this could be interesting. If nothing else, if you got the money to spend, I feel like it'd be kind of fun to find this out. I feel like at this point in my life, I figured out, you know, a lot of these things about how I process foods and such. But at the same time, it would be really cool to actually see that on paper. And I'm sure that I would probably learn some new things too.
Yeah, I mean, I find that everyone finds out something new, and actually concreting some stuff in your head is also quite good.
Yeah.
Obviously, our support system is one of the best out of all the companies. So from a bodybuilding perspective, all you have to do is then drop us a message and we'll help you make a training program based off it. You know, we even look at things like how much time and attention do you need.
Really?
So instead of saying like do 12 reps, now I can do 12 reps. It might take me 12 seconds to do 12 reps. I can just knock out 12 reps. Or I can do 12 reps. It might take me 30 seconds. It might take me 35 seconds. It obviously depends how much tension I'm using per rep. So we basically explain to people how much tension they need in one go to reach the best hypertrophy results, for example. So say we said it was 45 seconds of tension, that could equal 15 reps if you did 3 seconds per rep. So we basically try and help as many people as we can with, you know, really individualizing, really personalizing how they train, and also how to personalize their diet, you know, really saying, look, you just need this much amount of carbohydrates, only stick to, you know, 5% of your diet being from sugar. And that obviously changes for each and every single person. So it is like getting an online personal trainer as well, I suppose.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And I like this because this is a lot more directed toward bodybuilders and to athletes than the other tests that I've seen. Because obviously there's other companies out there that are doing this. And a lot of the stuff I think is more or less based toward just general population, non-training people. So I think that could definitely be a huge benefit right there. I hadn't heard of anybody else doing this.
Yeah, there are other companies that do the sports stuff. But like you say, we try and bring that service aspect on it as well. So like, for example, my Facebook, for example, most of the people who bodybuilders have had tests, they actually just add me as a friend on Facebook. And I've supported some people for like 2 years post-test. You know, it's no extra cost. I don't charge anybody anything. So, you know, it's that part of it which is key. And in the future, we will have this rolling training plan maker, which will just be part of the dashboard.
Oh, wow.
When it will just progress, basically. So you can even then say you want to change the goal slightly, and it will change. And the same with the diet. So say at the beginning you wanted a bulk, it will change the training plan and your diet plan, you know, cohesively for a bulking phase. And then you'll say, look, I want to peak at this point, so I'm going to go into a cut, and I want to peak. My body needs to be peaking at this point for a show. And then obviously the algorithm will make that for you.
Huh. That's fascinating, man. Well, thank you very much for your time. This has been really cool, and it's a whole branch of science that is it's brand new to me, so this is exciting to talk about too.
Yeah, cool. No, it's been great having great being on, to be fair, so yeah, that's good.
All right, guys, for another episode of Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with moodoo.com. We will see you guys soon.
Cool. Cheers for that.
All right, guys, you made it through another three-part episode of Advices Radio. Thank you all for listening. If you would like to get a hold of me, if you'd like to ask questions, you have comments, you have suggestions for potential future guests, hit me up on Instagram at ScottMcNally1 or at Advices Radio Network. All right, guys, see you soon. It's true, I crave you. Advices Radio.